You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Well, praise the Lord, men, women of God, mighty men and women of valor. We thank God for you listening in. This is Thomas Robinson. You're listening to Kingdom Sounds. We're a radio broadcast ministry of Victory International Praise. Our church is located in the wonderful city of Melbourne, Florida. I have an awesome friend of mine in the house, praise God, at the radio station. He was here with us on Monday. Amen. And so today is Tuesday. And before I get rolling, amen, we want to just hear from him. Tell us where you're at, where you're located at, man of God.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Pastor. We're at the Chief Cornerstone Missionary Baptist Church, 3125 Main Street in Melbourne, Florida, 32901. We're now undertaking our building project. We've gotten all our things in a row with the city of Melbourne. All permits been signed, sealed, and delivered. And we're looking to go ahead and start moving on with that here next month as we have the planning and zoning last meeting to get going. And God is just moving everything in his own time and pace, and we're grateful to see the avenue of that. Yes, Lord, we're just in the season of doing whatever we can for the community and the God and power.
Praise the Lord. All right, well, praise God. You know, yesterday I started off dealing with Daniel 7:25. It's going to be our topic verse right there. The Bible says he, the enemy, spirit of Antichrist, sometimes even if we're not in this particular season, as far as what this this dispensation, the Bible, the enemy has a nature. Come on, there's things that the enemy like to specialize in. Oh, glory to God. The Bible says he will speak words against the Most High. Amen. And wear down the saints. The enemy like to wear the saints out. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Boy, I want to stay there, but maybe later on, the saints of the Most High. You know, sometimes we look at the world and we say, you know, it looks like the world is prospering and stuff, and you know, so folks figure that, you know, there are certain things that they don't have to do even as a Christian. Well, you know, let me show you something. The devil know how to bless his people. Come on, he ain't out there trying to take anything or take money from his people all the time. Come on, but he'll definitely take it from you. He'll definitely take it from you. Oh, glory to God. There's people that, okay, all right, God, there's some areas I want to go in, but I'm not even going there. And the Bible says he intends to change the times. Oh, glory to God. Some of your Bibles say season. And I started off yesterday by saying that the enemy will make you make it seem like you're in a season or a time that you're not really even in. Come on, okay, all right. Hallelujah. He'll make it seem like because what he wants, the fruit of your mouth. He wants the seed of your mouth. He wants you to say something and have a spiritual abortion. Come on, he wants you to dig up that seed, or dig up that, stop the harvest. Come on, if the enemy can't stop it, at least he's gonna try to slow you down. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we're in a time where we got to be careful as to what is coming. Somebody say, out of our mouths. Out of our mouths. Okay, all right. The Bible says, as long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest time. You need to understand that what comes out of your mouth, come on, the seed time and harvest time is a law. Oh, glory to God. It's a law. Hallelujah. A lot of us are eating from the harvest of what has been coming out of our mouths and even for years. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to say that again. It's a spiritual law. Oh, glory to God. I mean, okay, let me say this here. Let me say this here, because I want to stick with this here, how the enemy likes to dominate your time. I mean, I remember when the children of Israel were in Egypt and the Pharaoh began to enslave them. Oh, glory to God. What was he doing? He was keeping them so busy. Come on. Because what we see the enemy doing today is he's keeping God's people so busy through social media, through work, through this and that. He'll even bring people in your life to rob you of your time. Come on. To get you out of the timing of God. Okay, all right. Who was that? Who was that? That was Samson. Come on. Delilah was on assignment. Come on. Delilah was getting paid. Oh, glory to God, to bring him down. Come on. So that means that if she was getting paid, she was on assignment. The enemy has people that he'll bring into your life to rob you of your time. Oh, glory to God. And so here the children of Israel, they're working. They're just, you know, the enemy's keeping them occupied. And so instead of spending 400 years, they spent 430 years. The Bible says that they begin to cry out. In Exodus 2 and 23, and then God began to hear them crying or their sighing or their groaning. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes we could be in something and just going along with it and not even trying to resist it or even, sometimes we, as Christians, we're tolerating things instead of praying about things. Come on. We tolerate the enemy. We look in the book of Deuteronomy when the children of Israel begin to go into the promised land, the writer was talking about how they went in and they began to dominate, and all of a sudden they began to tolerate. They went from dominating to tolerating the enemy. Come on, some things we tolerate. We tolerate sickness instead of speaking against it.
My Lord.
We tolerate it. You know, I was there was a lady that came in the shop and Christian lady, I'm assuming she was Christian because she was talking about God and she was talking, you know, about church. And all of a sudden she began to talk about what she was going through. And she said, the doctor said that I'm going to have this for the rest of my life. And I'm like, wait a moment. And I began to minister to her and even encourage her to say God's word and decree what the word has to say. And she, I thought she was getting it, praise God. But then next thing you know, I heard her out in the front of the business telling a whole bunch of people, the doctor said that I'm going to have this for the rest of my life. Come on. Sometimes, I bind the spirit of pity because some people are looking for pity. You know, some people are looking for people to pity them. They're more concerned about people around them and what people think about them instead of the word of God and using God's word. It was just as easy to go out there and say, yes, the doctor might have said something, but guess what? In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I'm healed by his stripes. I stand on that. You know, my God, there's things that the doctors have declared and decreed over me and my family. Come on, somebody. But we stood on the word of God. Oh, glory to God. And by standing on the word of God, we saw the manifestation. Come on, why? Because we are called to dominate. Come on, oh, glory to God. Sometimes we're tolerating when we should be dominating. We look in the Bible, hallelujah. Sometimes we're not even operating like God. Okay, all right. We're created in his image and his likeness. His image and his likeness. Well, what was God like? What did God call work? God called work speaking. For the first 6 days, God said something.
Yes, sir.
He called that work. Come on. Come on. And so when we look at Adam, and I'm going to let the man of God, the doctor, jump in here in a moment. We look at Adam, and Adam, you know, we think that Adam had a bunch of rakes and hoes and, you know, tree cutting items and saws and stuff like this, an axe, you know. No. Adam was created in his likeness. Come on. And so if because the Bible says that Adam didn't even sweat until he sinned. God said, now you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. You're going to toil now. So what was Adam doing? Adam was in the garden acting like God. He was speaking because I got to say this here, because a lot of us as saints, sometimes we're working three and four jobs. Oh, glory to God. We're working three and four jobs. And we're toiling. My God, we don't even have time to pray. The enemy's getting us out of the timing and the season of God because we got so many other things going on that guess what? We're toiling and don't even know that we're toiling instead of speaking. Come on. Ah, glory to God. See, it's easier for us to do it that way than to use our mouth. What? Okay. Because here's Adam. If Adam didn't like a tree in a certain place, Adam was dressing the garden. And so Adam was speaking to creation because Adam had dominion over creation. Creation had to do what Adam said. Come on. So if Adam said, I want you trees to come over here and get in this place here, why is that so far-fetched? Why is that? Because guess what? We're so accustomed to the way we do things that we miss the whole point that, guess what? Adam was in the likeness and image of God. And when he did something, it was just like what God, Jesus said, I do what I see. Jesus was called the second Adam. Jesus didn't get out there and try to row the boat through the storm. Come on. Jesus walked on the water. Jesus just spoke to the storm. My God, told it to stop it. Go somewhere, sit down. Shut up and sit down somewhere. Go get somewhere and get out my face. Come on, I'm paraphrasing it. Because guess what? Our picture of God and what God is like has been perverted. We look and we got 10-foot ceilings, cathedral ceilings in our houses. Well, guess what God gave the children of Israel? Sometimes we see movies and the movies are not depicting how things really happen. God gave the children of Israel houses and lands. He gave them houses that belonged to giants. Come on. Yes. And so guess what? Some of these giants was 12, 15 feet tall. Why do we think that we're the first one to have cathedral ceilings and that, guess what? Them people lived in huts. Come on, huts. Come on. The cities that God gave them was bling. Come on, had it going on. Our picture of what that God is like has been distorted. I'm going to let you jump in there, man. God, I can keep this boat rolling.
I love it, man. I so love how you went to the genesis of the problem, and that's what we don't get, how God spoke everything into existence. That our power is in the tongue. We got death and life, as the Bible depicts and tells us, but we have to own the power instead of being a slave to the power. We got to own it. And that's our problem. Adam had a will, and he was in God's permissive will until he stepped out. He listened to woman, right? So who are we listening to? Who is dispelling us out of speaking? Who is putting a silence on our voice? What is it that's driving us away? And if you go to the root of the problem, it's all going to be sin. It's all going to be sin. Sin gets in every time we are silent. When we don't allow ourselves to be in the image of what he created. We have to stay in that realm because that's what he gave us. When seeing how Adam was going about, right? And work was not the physical labor, okay? But God gave that for what? Punishment. So when you're working 2 and 3 jobs, you punishing yourself. You God Almighty, you're not toiling. You are tearing yourself up. God Almighty. And we looked at what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1. All this is vanity. What are you working for? All this stuff you want to get? Why? When you work more, you spend more. You don't save more because you've placed yourself in a condition to think that's normal. We didn't got out of the regular normalcy and got our own new normal.
My God. You know, because... You know, I was dropping some of this at the place of employment, and someone said, "Well, I know a person, and they've been working this. I think they said probably all since they were young, 3 jobs, and that they're getting ready to retire early and such and such." And I said, "Well, you could do it that way. A person could do it that way. But why toil when you can just speak the word?" See, can I tell you something? It came a time when who was that in office? Obama, and the housing markets failed. Now, I got to say that some of that is our fault because the Lord told us to sell our house before the housing market failed because God he knows what's going to happen. And we argued with God, debated with God because we really liked the house. The house had a lot of equity in it, had over $200,000 worth of equity in it. Come on. And we didn't obey God and the housing market failed. And so now I was in a dilemma where I had to use my credit cards and all of this here stuff trying to, my wife lost her job. She got fired, laid off or something like that. And I had to use my credit cards, and so I got in debt big time. And so, but God used that to teach me something, okay? Because it would have took years to pay off all of that debt. But God began to stir me and my wife to pray for debt cancellation. Come on. And we begin to decree and declare that we're debt free. God wanted the body of Christ debt free. I got a check in my spirit. He wanted his people debt free. Yeah. And you're trying to do it by work. You don't even understand that you have dominion. And we don't preach dominion. If we preach dominion, more people would operate in dominion. Mm. Let me show you something. We begin to pray about being debt free. Well, guess what? I come home one night. I look on my nightstand. I thought it was a couple of bills. I open up one letter. It says, "We have decided to cancel your debt."
God,
what? God is good.
Yes.
Until I open up the other letter and it says, "We have decided to cancel your debt." Now, God went from being good to real good.
Good, somebody.
My God, up in Zion. I went to contact Discover Card and tried to negotiate with them. And God said, "Don't contact them. Don't contact them." So I then contacted them. They contacted me and they said, "We'll knock off 75% if you give us, $2,400. I said, "Put it in writing and send it to me." God put the money in my hand. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Boom. Almost $10,000. I might as well round it off to about $10,000. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Paid off. Come on. What am I saying? I'm saying that God dealt with debt. Come on. Over $20,000. I'll just say it that way. Over $20,000 worth of debt was canceled in a very short period of time. Oh, glory to God. We didn't have to toil. What we call work was using our mouth.
That's it.
Come on, to decree and to declare. Oh, glory to God. The Bible says you shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass. Oh, glory to God. What gives you the ability to decree? You are a king, baby. Mm. You are a king. The Bible says you are a king and a priest unto God. Come on, you are created in his image and likeness. Come on, oh glory to God. God has given us that. The Bible says, talking about Jesus, that all things were put under his feet. Come on, that sounds like dominion to me. Mm. That sounds like hallelujah. All things have been put under his feet. That's in the book of Psalms 8-6. All things, that's Old Testament. I want you to read it in the Old Testament. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Now we're going to go to the New Testament. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, 18-22. Let me read that right quick. 18. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Write down the right verse. Oh, there we go. Here we go. All right. Let's start at verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and powers and might and dominion and dominion and dominion in every name that is named. Come on, oh glory to God. Let's drop down to verse 22. Hallelujah. And has put all things under his feet. Now I want to ask you something. Are you in Christ Jesus? The Bible says we're in Christ Jesus. The Bible says we're seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Come on. Oh, glory to God. If he has dominion, you got dominion. Mm-hmm. If he can speak to a storm, you can speak to a storm. Okay. One brother testified yesterday. He says, "Man, I was at the beach." And he says, I opened up my eyes and looked down in the water. And I looked in the water. And he says, "I was surrounded by two sharks." And he said, "I took dominion over them."
Come on. I don't know.
Oh, glory to God. Why? Oh, glory to God. He operated in his authority. I tell you what, if he would have became fearful, he probably wouldn't be here today. If he would have panicked, but he used this dominion to tell those sharks to get out of Dodge. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Are you using your dominion? Oh, glory to God. Do you recognize that you're called to dominate and not just tolerate, not just exist, not just you're too busy trying to work it out in your own mind. How are you going to do it? Oh, glory to God. You ain't even invited God. And you know, God is a God of invitation. He won't even come into your life unless you invite him into your life. He's a God of invitation. He likes to be invited. He likes to be invited into your finances. He likes to be invited into your, I'll tell you what. When you invite God, I remember when I started inviting God in everything, in health. I used to sit down and try to eat all 5 pork chops. If my wife cooked 5, I was going to try to eat all 5. And next thing you know, I would be sitting there eating French fries, and the Lord would say, "Stop." You know, I'd go to, you know, Five Guys, and I'm sitting there trying to eat, and the Lord say, stop. He began to put the brakes on me. Why? Because I invited him into things, and because sometimes God is just Savior, and God is saying, I want to be Lord and Savior. Let me Lord over your life. And so I begin to let him Lord over my life. I would go to buy something in the store, and the Lord say, put the brakes on. Don't buy that. A lot of times we're running back to the store to take something back to the store because guess what? We haven't been led by the Spirit of God. And so God wants to teach us how to dominate. Come on, somebody. Mm. Somebody say dominate. Dominate.
Dominate.
Oh, glory to God. Because faith is, can I say something? Your faith in God's word allows you to dominate. Okay, all right. It allows you to circumvent time. It allows you to dominate. When I was on my way to the Space Center, oh, glory to God, late, running late, had just left my house, probably a couple of minutes down the road, knew I was going to be late. The new supervisor from Tennessee or whatever decided to change my workstation, and I said, you know, she put me way out on the pad when I was supposed to be at the OPF, so she put me miles further out. And so I'm like, well, I got to stop by and get my equipment because, you know, you changed, you know, my station. I had left my equipment at the OPF, and she said she was going to write me up. And I got to admit, I got hot and mad. But I tell you what, I begin to praise God. I begin to talk to God. And in the midst of talking to God, worshiping, praising God, God moved my vehicle down the road and brought me to the forefront of the Space Center. Come on, because guess what? You got dominion over time. The enemy wants to waste your time. He was trying to. Because a lot of us haven't seen it in the Word. The Bible says God gave them dominion over all the earth. Come on. And so that includes time. My wife was in Melbourne. I told my wife, I said, I'll be there in 10 minutes. I was at coming to the Sun Tree Light, and she was in Melbourne. My wife is in the marketing. She knows the area, and I was supposed to pick her up, and she says, no. She says, You're at least 15 minutes. You're about 15 minutes away. That's not 10. I said, I'm sticking to what I said. Because there are sometimes when God puts his weight on our words. Mm. Can I tell you something? Every light turned green. Come on. It's not the first time. There are times when God will, when God gets to the place, when we get to the place that God can trust our mouth, he'll put his weight on our words. Come on. And you'll say something and you'll see the manifestation of it. You'll see it come to pass. I pulled up in the caves. I wanted breakfast one morning. And then I'm going to let the doctor jump in here. Pulled up the caves, and I wanted breakfast, and I realized I left my wallet. Oh, glory to God. I didn't waste time trying to go back home. I had to go to work, but I wanted breakfast. So I opened my mouth and decreed and declared that in the name of Jesus Christ, someone's going to buy me breakfast on this morning. Come on. Oh, glory to God. I went in, and I sat down because faith without works is dead. I sat down. The waiter came to me, and the waiter said, how can I help you? I said, well, I left my wallet at the house. She said, I got you. And then the person that was sitting in the front of me at a different table said, we got it. We'll take care of it. Then the person that was sitting on the side of me said, we got it. We'll take care of it. Why? Because I opened my mouth, and I decreed and declared, oh, glory to God. I took dominion over my time. I left my glasses one day and was going to take my driver's license test. And come on, I was on Merritt Island, and this is when it was on the right hand, on the east side of the road. And just to make a long story short, praise God, I wasn't going to Vieira. I laid hands on my eyes and decreed and declared that I have 20/20 vision. Oh, glory to God, I passed the test. Hallelujah. Years later, when I got on at the VA and I went to take a test, and they told me, you got 20/20 vision. I was arguing with the woman, I don't have 20/20 vision. Why? Because it went over my head. Mm. Because sometimes, oh, glory to God, God put his weight on your words. Hallelujah. To save you time. Come on. Go ahead, man of God. We got about 5 minutes. Minister to us a little bit and then tell us where.
Yes, sir. Well, we're just thankful to hear how you are telling us that we got to understand that we have that dominion. And that is really translated to authority. God has given us his authority when, as you said earlier, he become Lord of your life. Yes. Everybody's looking for a savior to be saved, but as you mature on this road, as you keep going and growing, as you keep moving forward, you have then become Lord of his overall. He brings us something, you know, and it's just a blessing for us to see that, how that transformation takes place. No one goes to school and stay in the same grade. Now, some of us don't grow up because we were remedial. But as we advance, guess what? There's a different lesson. And at every level, there's a new devil. You're going to meet him. But guess what? You're going to beat him as well, because death and life, again, still back in the power. God Almighty. So we got to possess it. We got to know that we have full authority. Now, we don't mind being authoritative. We want to tell somebody our way. But we don't realize the authority that we possess by having that dominion. See, he says, these things are built up here for us. You know, all things work together for the good to them. See, we got to be them, not they. We got to be them, not they. And that's what we mess up at. I'm going to stick to being them, because I'm going to be part of them that love the Lord and called according to his purpose.
Tell us where you're located at right quick.
Yes, sir. Chief Cornerstone Missionary Baptist Church, 3125 Main Street, Melbourne, Florida, 32901.
Amen. Praise God. We thank God for Dr. Pastor Dupree being in the house. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, he has blessed us. And we pray a blessing upon you today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we want you to know him. Lead him through the sinner's prayer right quick, man of God. And God then we'll close, shut it down.
Oh, how we thank God for this day. Father God in heaven, we come now just to say thank you. Lord, we just say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, Lord. Father God, give us this day, Father God, your ability, Lord. Give us, Lord, right now. Oh, Father, have mercy on our souls. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us, Lord, from all which is evil. Father God, for thou art the kingdom, the power, and the glory be yours forever. It's in thy Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We love you. This is Pastor T. Thomas Robinson. All right. You've been listening to Kingdom Sounds. God bless you. We're turning you back over to Danny.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed our broadcast, and I hope you enjoy our daily broadcast. And if it has been a blessing to you, we would like to give you an opportunity to sow into the ministry. Now, you could use our church telephone number, which is connected to the church Zelle account. The telephone number is 321-358-7455. Also, if you want to send your love offering, love gift through Zelle using our email account, it is vipministries@att.net. Again, those are for Zelle, but if you would like to Cash App, you can Cash App us at $Victory with an I. In other words, $VICTORI57. We sure hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You could use also that telephone number to tell us if the broadcast has been a blessing to you, or the email address. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. Address is 250 North Babcock, 250 North Babcock in the city of Melbourne, Florida. Our Sunday morning services start at 11 a.m. All right, God bless you.
You're listening to WWBC 99.9 FM Cocoa, 94.7 FM Rockledge, and 100.7 FM Melbourne, Palm Bay, and the Beaches.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. It's been almost 2 years since the U.S. military withdrew from Afghanistan, leaving a void of power quickly filled by the Taliban. In that time, Taliban rulers have outlawed women's education, religious freedom, even music. That's why a concert violinist named Ali left his instrument behind when he fled Afghanistan back in 2021. He knew that the Taliban would confiscate and destroy any instruments they found, along with music shops and schools. After Ali arrived in the United States, a stranger heard his story and decided to donate a violin to the displaced musician.